This is Access All Areas on FUBAR Radio with Bobby Norris.
Good evening, guys. It is Access All Areas, and yes, we are live on FUBAR Radio. I'm Bobby Norris.
And I'm Ellen Collin.
How have you been, Elle?
I've been great. How have you been?
Really good, thank you. Looking forward to catching up shortly.
Yes,
Elle was bringing us all the tea. You're bringing the showbiz tonight.
Yes,
I love it. She's wearing two hats.
Yes.
We absolutely love
double
it.
Double jobbing at last.
Double jobbing. That's what we like to say. Oh, sorry, guys. Oh, yeah. I forgot to breathe then. So, as always, you know me and Elle. We're always here to serve the piping hot tea. And tonight is no different. It is a reality special and a half. And it's boys' night. We've got the lads in.
Oh,
lads,
yeah.
Lads on top! I've gone really butch all of a sudden. So it is jam-packed. It's wall-to-wall reality. It's wall-to-wall lads. And I'm excited for it. I'm definitely here for it. So we're going to be chatting to Blade, fresh from Love Island. And then in the studio also, we've got Charlie from the brand new series of Too Hot to Handle.
Yes, that would be good.
Exciting times. So it's a reality, it's a dating. There's going to be a little bit of teeth blowing. I can feel it.
Yeah, me too.
Love is in the air.
Yeah.
And it's exciting. I'm absolutely excited and here for it. And we're going to have a good one, Elle. Now, before we start talking to the lads, as always, you guys at home know by now, we start the show with a bit of We start the show with showbiz news. Now, Elle, what has caught your eye?
Well, have you seen the latest about Celine Dion? Obviously, she had a documentary that was released there recently on Amazon Prime, and it was all about like her struggles with stiff person syndrome. And in that documentary, she basically said, when I'm back on stage, what I'm going to be doing is like she basically can't perform for. She hasn't been able to perform for many years because of the syndrome.
Bless her heart.
I know.
Which is all when you're Celine Dion, if you can't sing, like.
Yeah. I know, and it flares up all the time, but, like, it's heartbreaking, the documentary. I was literally nearly crying the whole way through.
It's meant to be so sad. I've not seen it. What streaming service is that one on?
It's on Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime.
Yeah, but definitely watch it, actually, this weekend if you can, because it is definitely one to watch. It's so sad, and she's so honest in it, but in it she says this line where she's like, I'll get back on stage no matter if I have to crawl back.
Oh, God, love her.
I know, she misses her fans and she misses just being out there. So basically there was reports circling over the week saying that she was going to get paid $2 million to perform at the Paris Olympics.
Shut up.
Well, they start on Friday, right? But it came out today that she's getting paid absolutely nothing. This is her first time back in years, her first time back on stage with stiff person syndrome,
and she's doing freebies.
She's doing it God for free.
I mean, Celine, she ain't short of a couple of quid.
She's not, but
still, not even a meal deal.
Not even a meal deal.
Give her a bottle of water and a sandwich.
You'd think, wouldn't you? But no, she's not getting anything for
that
it.
That shows that she's there for the love and the passion of singing. She ain't there for the cold hard cash on a Friday afternoon.
Exactly. And apparently, the Olympics have come out with a statement, and they said that they never pay any performers to perform at the Olympics. Usually the performers do it just for themselves to get their name back out there, to, you know, they just don't get paid for it, and they know that. And but the Olympics, they put on the production. So like Celine Dion doesn't have to come with her production team, set up the stage and everything. She just has to show up, somebody will hand her a mic and she'll sing. So maybe that works out better for her.
They're gonna foot the bill.
They'll foot the bill.
I did get an email and a request saying, will you do a little medley, a bit of George Michael, a bit of Adele?
Right.
Unfortunately, I can't be there, so maybe that's why Celine's got the call.
I'm
joking, Celine, I love you. You're better than me.
If they paid you the $2 million, you'd be there, I'm sure.
$2 million? I'd be like, see ya.
Bye,
let's
guys.
Go Gatwick. Where is the Olympics this year? Am I going Gatwick? It ain't in the UK, is it?
It's in Paris.
Paris. Yeah, I could go from Stansted or Luton.
Yeah.
So if anyone pulls out, Mr. Olympics, and you're listening, call me.
He's ready, guys. He's ready. But yeah, it'll be interesting. Watch this space. Celine Dion's going to be performing just one song.
What will she sing?
She hasn't said yet. But
is she going to do Titanic?
No, I think it's going to be, from watching the doc, I think it's going to be something new. Because at the end of it, she was trying to learn some new songs that fit her new vocal range. Because her vocal cords now,
they
don't work as well as they used to. She can't hit those high notes. So I feel like it's going to be something completely
new. Because she's got that viral song out recently. It's all over the social media and all over TikTok. Mm-hmm. It's a collab with someone, isn't it? I wonder if it's going to be that.
Oh, maybe.
Not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But yeah, exciting. Best of luck, Celine, if you're listening.
Best of luck, yeah.
And if you're free after, on your detouring back, we're not far from Paris here in London.
Stop in here and have a chat to
pop
us.
Pop into Access next week.
Yeah, exactly.
So we'll keep you posted, guys, if Celine's coming in.
Oh my God, I wish.
So do I. I'd end up singing Titanic at her.
I wanted just for that clip alone.
Just for the socials.
Just for the socials.
What else, Miss L?
So obviously it can't be a show without Love Island. We have a Love Islander coming in, so a bit more Love Island goss. And you know what? Joey is the best money that Love Island has ever spent, because he's a gift that keeps on giving this season. But some people at home are not that happy with him. There's been a lot of Ofcom complaints, apparently 250 Ofcom complaints when they had the show. I think it was about 2 days ago now, the show where they had the Gossies, I think it was called. And basically, people were complaining because he's stirring the pot a bit in there. Now, I find it quite funny. Like, he's not really doing anything that bad. Like, yeah, he is stirring the pot.
In what way?
So, he's basically... He was coupled up with Grace, and then Grace, like, completely got over the fact that he dumped her for Jesse. She moved on a little too quick, I think, for Joey, because Joey started saying after a couple of days, when he saw that Grace was happily coupled up with someone else, "You wish you were still coupled up with me. I can tell you're still mad about me and stuff." And she was kind of showing no inkling that she was. And she was like, "What? Where is this coming from?" So then social media jumped on the bandwagon and they're like, "What is he talking about? Like, she's not showing any interest." So
as a viewer, there was no indication.
No indication at all that she was. She'd just happily moved on.
Because he was coupled up with, is coupled up with someone
with
else,
Jesse.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, and he seems quite happy with Jesse.
Yeah.
So it was a weird
thing.
Because
they've kind of been coupled up a little while now, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. And he dumped Grace for Jesse. So, like, you think he would just stay happily in his thing. But I think it comes across like he was hoping that Grace would pine a bit after him, a bit more than she did. Because she just goes, "Oh, okay, you're dumping me for someone else, fine." And she coupled up with someone else, moved on.
She cracked on.
She cracked on. Yeah. It looks to viewers that he is not happy with that she probably wanted her to be a bit more pining after him and a bit more drama because of it.
So what's the nature of the complaints to Ofcom?
So the complaints are basically saying that he's stirring the pot, he's being misogynistic, he's, because it wasn't just that, there's been a few other things as well where he's called out couples for things, and you know, the rest of the villa are kind of turning on him a bit. Besides Sean Stone is his best mate in there. He is literally standing by his side. Joey can do no wrong and Sean will have his back. So do you know what? I don't really understand the Ofcom complaints. I think people are way too quick to jump to Ofcom right now. Like, it's a reality TV show. There's meant to be stirrers. If there wasn't stirrers in the show, we'd have frick all to talk about.
This is so it. That's the nature. Reality TV.
It's reality TV. Can we relax a bit? But Joey's getting a bit of hate online. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting when he comes out what he has to say.
Absolutely. Mm. And sticking with the reality TV theme, I see that you've jotted down Strictly.
Yes.
Tell me more. What's happened today? Because it's almost every day now, isn't it? And
it
I don't
is.
Even say that in jest. Literally, you wake up and you're looking like, gosh, what's going to come out next?
Yeah.
They seem to be really having a hard time of it, which is sad in a way. Of all years, this would be a shit situation for the BBC. Such an iconic show. But the 20th anniversary, production must be pulling their hair out.
Must be pulling their hair out. But I must say as well, the BBC are the ones looking back through the old footage and finding new problems themselves. So, like, it kind of shows them in a good light in
Absolutely.
A way that they're able to
They're taking it seriously. They're
exactly.
not just throwing out a statement and... Mm. Like hiding under a rock and making it hasn't happened.
Exactly. They're holding a mirror to themselves and they're letting the world know about it. It all started with Giovanni when he stepped away after the programme started investigating into his training room conduct. And then Graziano, he was sacked after video footage emerged of him kicking his dance partner Zara McDermott at a rehearsal last year. And now Strictly's Christina Rinoff, she said today that she nearly quit the BBC show. She she was.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she was on it between 2008 and 2015 as a professional dancer. And she said that there was a lack of mental health support on the show. She said that, I know the contestants have a hard time when they're on the show, and I get that, you know, there's like investigations into the conduct of professional dancers. But she was saying that also professional dancers are really having a hard time because there's a lot of pressure on them as well from show execs and producers. She's welcoming the fact that the BBC are saying that they're going to have some more mental health support going forward. They're going to have
the BBC come out, because
they have.
I saw that they're going to give each celeb a chaperone, aren't they, for rehearsals?
Yeah, yeah, they're going to have a chaperone. They're also going to have an on-site counsellor. So whenever either a professional or a celebrity needs to speak to a counsellor, they can do. They'll have a chaperone, like you said, in the room, and all the rehearsals are going to be recorded as well, so producers can look back afterwards and see how it's going.
Because over the, as we say, this seems to be the story that keeps on giving. Mm. And there's so many different stories. This is where it's becoming a mess.
Yeah, it is.
Where so many people are coming forward and saying stuff. A lot of celebs I've seen have been on the show. So past contestants that are doing like interviews on various platforms and shows and stuff have said that there's always been camera crews filming every rehearsal.
Yeah.
So the footage will be in an archive somewhere. So the BBC must just have a team of people scrolling through this, which is kind of that thing, because you're going into a new series. You always kind of want a fresh series. It's new celebs.
Yeah.
A lot of the dancers have changed, because some of these allegations are going back 18 years, aren't they?
Yeah, totally.
They're pulling things up from
so far back. And even the Zara McDermott one, that only came out, what, 2 weeks ago? And that was from like their training last year, this time last year. So you can see that they're definitely going back through older archived footage to do this. I think it's a great thing what they're doing, but again, it's just really shining a light badly on the show, isn't it? Because it's just, it seems like there's a toxic work culture going on there. They're also saying as well that they're going to have some sort of mental health, or not mental health, but they're going to have a psych evaluation for everybody coming into the show, all the celebrities, to see if they're actually cut out for it mentally, because it is a tough show and it's a tough process, and they don't get much time off, long working hours, learning.
Because they train hard, these celebs, fitting in around their day jobs.
Yeah.
I've said over the years, some of them doing 8, 10, 12 hour days on top of everything else. So, and it's a very, learning a new skill. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've never done Strictly, but that in itself is a big challenge. It's such an iconic show. Mm-hmm. So taking all that on board as well.
Yeah.
But I see that there was speculation, and again, I don't know if it's on social media predominantly, but they were saying, oh, it's getting tricky now to cast celebs for the series, because it's kind of become a little bit tainted, which I think is really sad.
Yeah.
But from what I know from years of hosting this show, is that this is the kind of time they start, celebs would know if they're doing it or not. So I imagine it's very, very like sealed, signed, delivered and cast.
Yeah.
Is it going to be a situation now where people are going into it this year, and viewers especially, sat on their sofas on a Saturday night, are people going to be trying to dissect each partnership and thinking? Because it's kind of sad if there is that speculation. I don't think they're going to shake that this series.
No.
I know there's been a lot of talk, people, you know, there's always people like a handful when something like this comes out, like a scandal, if that's what we're calling it, going, just axe the show, it's had 20 years. I can't see the BBC axe, do you know what I mean?
Like, I don't think so. It's such a cash cow for them, and also there's Strictly all over the world now.
Yeah, the franchise is huge. I think it's in like 62 countries.
Yeah, and do you know what, you can't let a few bad eggs spoil the broth. I think actually maybe people will tune in this year that wouldn't have tuned in previously, because maybe now they're going, oh, maybe we can see a bit more controversy in live action, know? So you never know. It might get them more viewers. But what I think they need to do, and I've actually thought this for years because I thought it was very American and cringe, do you know those kind of VTs where they're all over each other and the dancers and the celebrities are acting like they're best friends, and they're like, it's like, come on guys, it's so cheesy. You don't have to be like that, because now, especially this year, if they're going to lean into that, it's going to look so fake, isn't it?
Completely. Especially now that you say like that, the mirror's been held against it. And in any job, it's not just showbiz and not just Strictly. It happens on a lot of TV shows that are partnered up with professionals. not everyone in life is going to click. It's lovely when you work with someone and you meet someone and you kind of, you do get that bond. And of course that happens. But sometimes people are just very different.
Yeah.
But the nature of the beast is you're there to do a job and to learn. So I really hope, and I'm going to put it out there, I'm positive Strictly will overcome this.
Yeah,
it's not nice at the moment. It's sad. It's on the 20th anniversary. It'd be sad whatever year this comes out. And it's awful that people have had, this is their truths, that they've had these experiences. But also you have to remember, when people are quick to call out, like say, just axe the show, get rid of it, it's not just the people you see on camera every year. Like, is it like 12 celebs? 12 celebs, it changes every year. Of course it does. But behind the scenes, it's the camera crew, it's the lighting, it's the sound. The production that would go into Strictly, it will be a machine and a half.
Yeah.
So for them to lose their job, that's their livelihoods. Times are hard at this. Cost of living crisis, do you know what I mean?
Agree. So. And also, in this day and age, we're too quick to just cancel things and just be done with things. But like, it's too much for me. I'm like, okay, businesses mess up all the time. People mess up all the time. We're all human. Things like this happen. And it's good to see the BBC are doing the right thing and the right steps. So,
fair play. Yeah. We applaud you, BBC. I think it's great that they're looking at this and they're taking it serious. Think we've got time for one more, Miss Ellen.
One more. Okay.
So pick wisely, darling.
Pick wisely. Speaking of comebacks, I suppose we may as well go on to Philip Schofield.
Oh.
Apparently, in the rumour mill, he's preparing for a showbiz comeback. Now,
I've seen this speculation. Yeah. This is because he was spotted with...
with Declan Donnelly.
Yeah.
Yeah, from Ant and Dec.
So it's rumoured people are putting two and two together and seeing Jungle.
Jungle. People are thinking Jungle because that's starting up again soon in Australia. And people are thinking, well, if we can ship Philip Schofield off to Australia... and then watch him from afar, we might like him again.
Do you think the hotlines will be going, could you see Philip Schofield with a kangaroo bollock in his mouth?
Do you know what? I feel like if he went on the show, that's exactly what would happen. Everybody, he would be that unfortunate soul. There's one every year that the public are voting for him to do all the trials and... do you know what? He might even win them back that way. But I think it's too early for that yet.
So you can't see Scope this series with bollocks in his mouth down under.
I think it's too early. It's still too raw. And I just can't see ITV doing that, putting him on another ITV show. I think if he was to go on another show, it would probably be like a Channel 4 or a BBC show. You know, a different network. I think that would be the way to go.
Yeah, I think you're right. Maybe if Channel 4... because obviously it's got a new home now at ITV and a great job they've done of both the civilian and the celeb one. Amazing. Yeah. If Big Brother's home was still Channel 5, I think it's very likely Channel 5, because Channel 5 got big bucks.
Yeah.
They would have been writing a big check. I mean, not that Scope's hard up, but it could have been likely we would have seen him in that or the next series of Celebrity Big Brother. But I guess it's a watch this space. But it can be a show for redemption where people turn people around. I mean, look at Nigel Farage. He went in there and actually did really well. He got quite far into it, I think.
Yeah, he did. And who was the other politician last year? The guy, the COVID guy.
Matt Hancock.
Matt Hancock. And
I love that we call him the COVID guy.
The COVID guy. He's getting the blame.
So, guys, that's enough showbiz for this week. But, of course, next week we'll be here with the piping hot tea. We're going to go to a little break now. And then we are going to be joined in the studio by Love Island star. We're going to get all the gossip.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, let's do it. Guys, we'll see you in two.
Access All Areas continues next. FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio presents
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
Joining me now, I have Claire Seal, who is a content creator and author.
You know, I think there's loads of shame when it comes to money and financial difficulty, but I honestly think that that shame is really a symptom of the judgment that exists in society. I don't think that people are feeling ashamed for the sake of it. I think they're feeling ashamed because you can't really sort of open your phone or open a newspaper without seeing these huge judgments piled on people who've made mistakes with money. And I think it's acceptable for people to slag you off about being bad with money in a way that it might not be for like other mistakes that you might make.
Politics Uncensored with Ali Milani.
Let's bring in Tobias Elwood, former Defence Minister.
Rishi Sunak has done well to pivot us back, taking us into far calmer political waters.
Has he taken you back into calmer political waters? I mean, you're on track, according to some of the polls, to the largest wipeout in years and, you know, may never return from it. I mean, how has he taken you back into calmer political waters?
We've just seen inflation go down to 2%. Confidence in business is returning.
But is that down to Rishi Sunak?
You've got to let me finish the question. You keep asking me a question and then throwing another question in.
I'm just curious to know, is inflation down to Rishi Sunak?
What the Health with Gabby Allen.
I have this stunning Steph Williams with me now, founder of the We Glow app. I did turf games on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
And it was horrible. It was horrible. But it was so fun. But it was like savage, right? Yeah. But I wasn't the best in the room and I hate that. And I was like, oh, God, I haven't trained like well
You're
enough
competitive.
For this. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, I don't normally think I am. But then when I was there, I was like, this is so annoying because. Yeah. And then I was like, why do I actually need to be good at this though? Yeah. Like, can I not just do it for fun?
But also, it's like when I've done like casts and stuff before and the blokes were like, lift that heavier weight. And I'm like, no, like I'm good.
Yeah.
I don't need to lift the heavier weight. Like, I know what I'm capable of. I know what works for my body.
Yeah.
And I think it's just kind of, like, I know what makes me feel good.
Yeah.
And ultimately, if you're working out to feel good, you're going to look good.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
And just in case you didn't hear it in the advert, it's FUBAR Radio, and yes, we are live. It is Access All Areas.
Access.
And we are joined in the studio by Blade. How are you doing, Blade?
Yeah, all good, thanks. Pleasure to be here.
He's so tall.
I mean, he's a unit, the geezer.
I know, well, I'm from Castle Ramore, you know, that's the standard.
Yeah, exactly.
The muscles are filling up the studio. Right, mate, so you've been back, what is it, about a week and a half?
Yeah, almost coming on 2 weeks.
How is life post Love Island? Now you're back in the UK.
Yeah, it's just been hectic, you know, a lot of kind of settling in and, you know, just getting my bearings a little bit now. I think I'm finally there. So,
yeah,
it feels good to be back and adjusting to a somewhat normal life, you can say.
Yeah, but crazy times now for you. Crazy now.
Quite exciting.
Yeah,
absolutely. Now, I always ask my celeb guests, because I always like to know what's going down in the DMs, because I know what a crazy place they can be when you've come from a reality TV show. Mm. What are your DMs saying? Because I know a lot of girls, even straight lads get it, gay lads get it. They get a lot of dick pics floating about in the DMs.
Oh, wow.
I'm sure yours ain't full of dicks. But have you had some... I mean, maybe they are. It's a good-looking geezer. But, I mean, they'd be a brave lad to send you a dick pic. What are you saying?
Yeah, I mean, they're a bit flooded right now. Yeah, I'm still trying to get through them, a lot of them. So, yeah, I'm making my way through a lot of them.
You're getting naughty ones from the girls?
Well, you know what? Not too naughty. Nothing too crazy now, I have to
just,
say, no.
Just the odd tit.
Well, can't say too much here and there. Yeah, I've got a few interesting messages and a few interesting calls, actually. From,
calls?
A few calls that have come through from people have messaged back and said hello to, I guess, but they're unexpected things.
Putting it out there.
Has anybody crept back up from the past? Any ex-girlfriends going, oh, hello?
Always a few old flames coming back here and there, you know, congratulating me and everything and how it went. So a few old faces, always nice to see, some not so nice to see.
And any blue tick fans coming in, not necessarily naughty DMs, but any celeb fans and followers?
Yeah, no, I had a few other kind of influences creep up, I have to say. But,
anyone you can mention? We spill the tea, we access every area.
Maybe just a few collabs in the future, but nothing crazy right now, nothing too much to shout out. But you know what? I have had just a little message from Cameo, so...
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so looking at maybe doing something with them in the short...
Absolutely, yeah, jump on it.
Yeah,
absolutely, mate. So, got to ask you, obviously, Castor and Moore, lad... Talk to me about your experience in there. How have you found it and what's your take on it? Because obviously you're in there 24 hours a day. ITV has to edit it down to about a 46-minute show by the time you take your ads out.
Yeah.
What was your experience?
Yeah, Castle and Moore for me, it was quite the it was quite the entrance. You had a good group of like good-looking guys going in. You know, and I feel like we're all there to shake things up.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Castle and Moore, you know, we were all conscious of what we were there to do and, you know, what the idea was to find a connection. Time was of the essence. But it was pretty intense, I would say. It was fun, but intense.
Mm. And you entered the villa with Grace. You had to step on a few toes to get to Grace. Like, I think she's so beautiful. Like, she's literally the most beautiful person in the villa. What was it like having to do that? Step on a few toes? Yeah. Like, did you feel guilty at all?
Well, the thing is, right, as Bobby mentioned, it is edited down from 24 hours. So there is only so much that you actually do see, especially in Casa Amor. There's so much going on and so many different conversations. So at the same time, me and Grace, we were getting along really well from the get-go. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I did find myself in a triangle at the time where, you know, I found myself stepping on a few toes. And I think things came full circle in the end. I suppose you're talking about me and Maziah both going for Grace at the time. So, you know, fortunately, she felt that our chemistry was just a bit stronger. I think we were hitting it off for the first 3 days really well.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of just came through in her decision in the end. Right. But all was well in the end, you know, and someone's got to go home at the end of the day. And
exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
There's boarding passes with someone's name or someone's ready to get them to Malaga Airport. So talk to me about game plans. I mean, and I think when people say that, people necessarily, they can see it as like a cynical thing. But obviously Love Island's been about a long time now. It's no longer the new kiddie on the block.
Yeah.
When you know you're going on a show as big as Love Island, do you have chats with family and mates and in your head you sit down and you're like, this is kind of what I want to do? Because you look like you weren't worried, as you say, and you can't, especially in Castle Moore, you ain't there to play games. Yeah. Did you think, I ain't fucking about, if I like something, I'm going for it?
No, for sure. I didn't necessarily even have a game plan or anything, you know. I took everything as it came. I thought, you know, I'm just going to be myself at the end of the day because that's all I could do.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't intentionally go to step on toes. That was just kind of
just
the
happened.
Way things... Yeah, that was just kind of the way the chips fell in the end.
Yeah.
So, no game plans. I just thought I'd be myself and just take things as they came.
Do you know what? I'd love to know your thought process on this because a few episodes ago we saw Joey accuse Grace of not being over him.
Yeah.
And like the rest of the world, while we were watching, she looked pretty much over him.
Yeah.
And it's like his ego is bruised a bit that like she moved on so quick. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, their situation, I mean, you have to remember as well, I came in as a viewer, right? So I had been watching for the weeks leading up to actually myself going in. So it all happened very quick. But at the same time, I did see how Grace and Joey had been cracking on from the get-go. And, you know, I can tell you from when I met her, our chemistry was great. But she did tell me, look, things were so intense and, you know, in the deep end with myself and Joey, I prefer just to take things a bit slower. So, you know, whether or not she's over him, I mean, she's adamant that she's not. I would say it's quite hard to get over someone like that in just such a short space of time, considering their history and how close they were in the main villa. Obviously Joey is still bringing her up in a lot of the conversations.
So
it does suggest that, you know, there may be something there from his end. And I feel like Grace is just kind of trying to find the next guy to connect with. But I mean, you know, I remember my entrance into the main villa, and he was definitely, there was definitely a fair bit of eye contact between myself and him. So, you know, there was a lot of, I don't know if I'd say daggers, but I could feel the tension as soon as I come into the main villa, you know, on that recoupling night. So
he was like, absolutely not, you're not taking my girl. I want both of the girls.
Yeah, I saw his fist clenching a little bit at the time, so yeah.
So, Blade, I've got to ask, mate, there was a bit of a disagreement between yourself and some of the lads on movie night about their loyalty. How were things with the boys by the time you packed your case and left?
So I left the whole show. So you know what? Straight after movie night, I actually did have a man-to-man conversation with a lot of the guys that there was any conflict with. And that includes, you know, Kieran, Will, even Joey I spoke to. And we just kind of set the record straight. And, cleared the air a little bit. So by the time I actually left, I was on great terms with every single one of the guys, including Joey and Will. We shook hands, had a good hug, and there were some good, like, heartfelt words kind of shared between us, really.
Okay,
so,
good.
Yeah, maybe not the drama that you might expect or...
I think you handled yourself well that night, because everybody was coming at you left, right and centre. And like, you literally were just like giving it back. And it must have been really hard and awkward, because you live with these people and, you know, now they're seeing clips of stuff that they thought was backstabbing.
Oh, yeah.
How did you feel going through that?
So, yeah, getting into the main villa, you know, I feel like me and the guys, we started off on quite a great foot. And as I'm honest with you, I'd actually forgot about a lot of the things I had said in Casa Amor. But I'd said them just more as a response to things I've been asked. It was a small part of a larger conversation. So yeah, it was quite intense, that particular situation in on movie night. I think the adrenaline was just rushing on my part and the other guys, really. And you know, I think everyone was kind of expected to speak their mind, and it looks like that's what everyone did, including myself. So
I think that's the best way to do it, though. Do you know what I mean? What's your thoughts, mate? Like you say, you was a viewer as you went into the show, because obviously you had the luxury of seeing what had happened before you went in there, which is always a good situation to be in.
Definitely.
It's almost like seeing someone's hand in a game of cards.
That's it.
Now you're back home, when you're sat on your sofa at 9 o'clock and you're watching ITV, what's your thoughts on it? Because you know these people inside out. As we said, you're living with them 24 hours. The show, in ITV's defence, can only put out so much, otherwise the show would go on for 16 years. So when you're seeing it, who do you think's playing a game now? And that's not necessarily a negative thing, but who do you look at and you think, well, I know that's not really you? Because you know people, when you live with someone, very quickly you get to know what they're about.
Yeah, I mean, you know, well, first of all, I think Joey, it's not Joey's first rodeo, is it? So I feel like he does know how to cause a stir and, you know, how to ignite a few different conversations that might rub people a certain way. And, you know, on that same token, Sean has become very outspoken now as well since Casa Amor. You know, and he had actually had said, you know, near the beginning of the series, I'm not really being myself, you know, I want to speak out more, and I just haven't really done that. So you could almost say that Sean's, you know, saying a few strategic things here and there, and now he's obviously settled in with Matilda. As far as anyone else, I wouldn't really say, like, anyone else is necessarily playing a game. I know Io has had his situation with Mimi and Jess, and I feel like he has naturally had to be a little bit strategic about what he's doing there, because, you know, there has been a bit of a back and forth, and I think, it's... me personally, I can only speak from my experience in terms of taking things as they come. But from what I've seen, I'd say, Joey and Sean have definitely ruffled a few feathers, maybe strategically, maybe just because that's the environment you're in. You know, it's very it's very intense.
Because people are kind of noticing online that Sean is really just sticking by Joey, no matter what he does. And it's kind of weird to watch, because it doesn't come across like that's Sean's character in general. It's not what we saw up until Casa, like you said. And now he's kind of like even going against his person he's coupled up with and the other islanders to stick by Joey. Do you think there's a reason for that? Do you think they've just formed this big friendship? Or
I think maybe they've got, like, you know, a few things in common. Joey is, of course, a very strong character. So, you know, again, strategically, it probably feels like it's in his favour to actually, you know, become close with Joey and stick by his side through whatever. So, so yeah, you know, that might be... that might be a factor in the situation.
Yeah, could be.
Do you think it's put Joey in a good situation in the villa? The fact that he's gone in there as a celebrity, which is the first time it's kind of been done to this level. Firstly, it's a two-part question. It's a double pronger. What was your thought when you was as a viewer this series, when you saw Joey going in and you knew a celeb was going to be in there, what was your initial thought to that? I'll ask you that one first, then I'll double prong.
So, well, this is the thing, right? Me and Joey, we kind of, we actually spent a fair bit of time together having just casual chats and getting to know one another. He's actually a cool guy. You know, we got along. And funnily enough, I had seen him a little bit from Towie back in the day. My younger brother was actually a bit more of a fan. And... so it is a bit strange going into the villa knowing there's a celebrity in there and having watched him before on previous programmes. Because you kind of don't know what to expect. Like, who is the person behind the camera, you know, in terms of what is he like as a one-to-one person? But no, we did get along well. And, you know, we actually felt, I shared a bit of a heartfelt story about my younger brother who actually used to style his hair like him years back upon leaving. And I said, because I told him before, I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to tell you when the time's right. And I waited till when I was leaving the villa to actually tell him that. And it was quite a nice heartfelt moment for him, because he said, I'm glad you told me that. And, you know, maybe we'll link up on the outside and reconnect, you know. So, yeah, I think things ended in terms of my journey in the villa with myself and him, they ended quite well, you know.
That's nice. It's always nice to have a nice conclusion and a nice ending.
Yeah.
The second prong to the question was going to be, so that's your thoughts and watching it as a viewer and your experience and stuff. In terms of Joey being there and his profile, do you think just as an Islander in general, it's put him in a really safe situation? Like, do you think he's kind of guaranteed, like from the office, a lot of people's going, is he going to win because of his fan base and stuff? Do you think people treat him different to any other Islander, or is it like a level playing field when you're in there?
That's a good question. I mean, I think it might have even been seen as a bit of a risky move, him going in, because I feel like in Love Island, you do expose yourself in a lot of, you know, kind of tough, emotionally tough situations as well. You do get to see more of a person than you might see on other programmes, you know. So it might have been a bit of a risk. I feel like at this point, you can see that he's, I suppose, he's a bit privy to the way kind of reality shows do go.
Yeah.
So as I said, like, he knows the things to say. But I think after a while, people just got used to him as being Joey.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the celebrity aura of him being Joey Essex does kind of fade into the background a little bit. I mean, we have conversations about what he gets up to, you know, with his lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
But when it, you know, when the rubber meets the road, I feel like we are all just kind of all just a group of people living the same experience within the same bubble.
That's nice. You know? That's as it should be.
Yeah. Do you think it's going to affect his career at all? Because he's getting some hate online now and everyone's saying it's the worst decision he's ever made.
I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure if it actually affect his career. He's had his moments, but I don't think it will have too much of a big impact at all. You know,
right.
not so much. I'm sure he's going to make it quite far. I mean, what, the final's only
around
the corner now, isn't it? So,
yeah.
I mean, he's pretty much there, and I think he's come a long way from the time he's come into the show to where he is now. So, yeah, good on him.
Yeah.
One last question, and I'm going to ask you, and I'm sure you knew it was going to come. Predictions. Who's your money on Monday night? Who's taking home the cold hard cash?
Yeah, so, right, we've spoke about Joey. He's got a big following already.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like Kieran and Nicole, they've been solid from the get-go.
Yeah.
It's clear that they're both, like, madly in love with each other, even through their ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I was having a discussion just before I'd left the villa, I can't remember who with, might have been Hugo, to be fair, but someone was saying that the thing is, a lot of people are probably expecting Kieran and Nicole to win at this point, so they may even vote for, let's say, the couple who they think is next in line to perhaps win, like a Sean and Matilda.
Oh.
You know, so
some people might start going strategic.
Yeah. You know, just start mixing the boats up a little bit. But yeah, for me, Kieran and Nicole would make the most sense
They're my winners, I want them to win.
You know, they've just been solid throughout, even through their kind of minor ups and downs. And they're both great people.
Yeah.
You know, I got along with Kieran so well too, and Nicole's lovely, so.
Yeah. Amazing. They seem genuine.
Thank you so much, Blade, for coming in.
An absolute
pleasure. There ain't many men that make me feel short. How tall are you? I'm 6'2", and I'm used to being one of the tallest in the room.
Yeah. I'm 6'4".
He's got a couple of inches on me.
No, thankfully, I'm still growing now, I think. Well, height-wise, at least.
Thank you so much, mate.
Thank you.
Best of luck with everything.
Been a pleasure.
Best of luck.
Guys, we're going to go to a little break, and then we'll be back in about 2 or 3 minutes, and we're going to be speaking to Charlie. We're going to talk all things Too Hot to Handle. See you in two.
Access All Areas continues next. FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio presents
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
Joining me in the studio was AJ and Curtis Pritchard.
When I used to go on Strictly, I used to think of it as like a public service. I'm entertaining somebody for 90
seconds.
And we
salute you.
Thank you,
AJ.
I want people to forget about their problems. I know it's a really weird mentality.
No, it's a... You are right in a way, right? Because there are people that
never made the final.
There was no need for that. Well,
What the Health with Gabby Allen.
I'm joined by fellow Love Island contestant, Adam Maxted, and professional wrestler, may I add. If you could wrestle any celebrity, who would it be?
I'm trying to think who would be.
Someone needs to be like your height, your size. Come on, you've got to be fair about it. It can't be like a little weasel.
Maybe like
Anthony Joshua or something.
Jesus, really? Yeah. You reckon you could take Anthony Joshua?
In a boxing fight, probably not.
But in a wrestling match, yeah.
In a wrestling match, I back myself.
Okay, fair.
Access all areas with Bobby Norris.
TikTok sensations Jack and Sorrel. Iconically, there have been some amazing celeb couples. Who would be your favourite of all times,
David Beckham and Victoria?
Girls.
I just think, like, the twists and turns of it all, but still being together like that, that to me is peak celeb.
For me, do you know what? I just love a good power couple. We had Beyonce, Jay-Z. Like,
yes.
I want them to reign highly. I want them to be girl bossing, man bossing, just bossing throughout, and us obsessed with them separately and together.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio presents
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
Where are you up to these days with your debt? You said it was at 37,000.
It was at 37. It's been a roller coaster. So I had £37,000 worth of debt, which I then paid back over about 5.5 months. I then continued to work for a few more months, and then I quit my job and went completely freelance. And I had a terrible, terrible year. And got back into debt. Fortunately, 2024 has been much kinder, and I'm earning a really good amount each month through my freelance work. But yeah, I'm back on the paying off a huge chunk of debt journey, which is currently stands at about 44,000.
Every Monday from 4 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back to Access All Areas. We are very much live on FUBAR Radio. And as one lovely guy goes, another joins us. We have got Charlie from the brand new series of Too Hot to Handle. How are you doing, Chaz?
Well, right now I'm actually blushing because that was such a kind introduction.
You're very welcome, mate. Thank you for coming into the studio.
Nah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
How is everything going for you? So there's only been 4 episodes out so far because Netflix do it in chunks, don't they?
Yeah.
Which I think is a really good idea. I mean, I do love to binge a whole thing, but I kind of like when you can only binge so much.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because otherwise you end up, you smash the granny out of it and then you kind of wish there was more episodes.
Yeah.
How is the public and the reaction on social media?
To be honest, like, I've had nothing but love since the show started airing. Mm. I mean, you know, obviously, I come on the screen, everyone just starts going, Charlie, we love you, you know.
They're only human, aren't they?
They're only human. No, I'm joking. But it's been really good, and I've really enjoyed it. And, you know, like you say, like, it is nice having the batches come out at different times and having the time as well since the show just to, like, you know, breathe and then it all sort of come back. It's, you know, it's a different experience than what Blade would have experienced.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was it like being on the show then?
I mean, I had a great time. I don't know if you guys have watched the episodes yet, but
same bits.
Yeah. I definitely had a good time on the first day. It's fair to say.
What happened on the first day? I missed that.
I would say that the majority of their girls had their fun with me on the first. Yeah,
oh,
they did.
Oh,
they
had
lucky
girls. Yeah, that's the energy I need. Thank you.
I know what I'm watching tonight.
Yeah, you'll enjoy it. But no, I had a really good time in there. I really enjoyed the experience, like, throughout the entire thing, like, genuinely. And the great thing about Tilt Handle is that it's not about going in and finding, like, your person. It's about going in as a person who, you know, we all held our hands up at the start and we were like, okay, we got something wrong with us, we're kind of like about getting with loads of girls and whatever, and it's all about a personal journey and growing through that. So, like, that's what for me was really good about the process. Nothing felt forced, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Which is nice.
That is nice.
This is the first series because obviously over the years I've interviewed a lot of you guys that have done the show. You're the first from this series. It's always been kept secret. It's always been on the DL. But as years have gone by, I'm a little bit like, I wonder, and I do say to guys, was there ever a part of you, because it's advertised or you're approaching to go, a brand new dating show, and I was like, did it ever enter your head that it could be too hot to handle? And what I've noticed, is as years have gone on, I think the last one or two, a couple of people was like, we did start to suspect. this year, I love what they've done is they've been just upfront about it. Yeah. This is what the show is. And I love, I think it's so refreshing. There's a few little changes this series, isn't there?
Well, I'm sure that people were kind of like starting to call Lana's
bluff. They were
bluff.
Clocking out,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, they were starting to call Lana's bluff. But what I, you know, really liked was that when I was told, okay, we're open casting for Tilt to Handle, I was like, right, well, for my first reality show, let's do a complete format switch. Let's go for the big one. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Where they're changing everything. Because that's the one that's calling Charlie Jeers, Dave. You know?
Yeah. he ain't now, fucking
like,
about.
No, nah, he's not fucking about. But now, like, I went there and, you know, throughout the whole process, I was very open with the fact that, yeah, cool, I might be a bit promiscuous, whatever. And you go on there and then all of a sudden, you're not confronted with the white cone you're expected. You're told you can do whatever you want. So poor old me is sat there and I'm like, right, these are cool, my bluff. I've got to go for it now. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, I definitely went for it at the start.
So you said that you leaned into the experience, basically, by, you know, kissing and a lot of the girls. If we had to play a simple game, shag, marry, avoid.
Oh, God.
Oh, who would you pick? God.
You know what? I think Lana would be very angry with me if I answered that question right now, because there's still episodes to come and you guys haven't seen anything. So if I answer that question in my position right now, I'm afraid it might ruin what's about
to
happen.
Can we just say shag then?
All of them.
I love it.
Yeah, we can hold our hands up to that.
Charlie boy, have you always been tempted by the reality TV bug?
You know, I actually had Love Island and Big Brother reach out to me in the past. I've had Celebs Go Dating reach out to me in the past. I mean, I've made videos on TikTok for years. And so, like, you kind of, you put yourself out there for that kind of attention. In the past, none of them, like, I ended up going on. Love Island, I was still, like, finishing uni at the time, studying economics. And then with Big Brother, you know, they just kind of didn't want me. But Too Hot to Handle was the right show for me. And so I'm really happy that, like, I did go on it. And, you know, you can't regret anything in life. I'm really happy where I am now, so I'm glad I did it.
Did you go into the show with any kind of game plan? Like, obviously, you knew it was, they was upfront about it. They was like, this is what the show was going to be. So you've got the knowledge of knowing what the game is. Do you know what I mean? You know the coup when you're rocking up. You're like, this is what it is. Did you think, I'm going to play it this way? And if you did have a game plan, did it turn out? Because a lot of people, it never really works out as you think it's going to be on reality TV.
It's true. I did have a game plan, if I'm completely honest. I had the exact same game plan that I walk into every nightclub with. Get as many girls as you possibly can.
I love the honesty.
I'm just messing about, honestly.
No, you ain't.
You got fat in it. I went in with the energy of like, yeah, cool. I'm going to go in and, you know, do exactly what I would do if I was on a night out and there was all these beautiful girls. I'm going to try and pull a couple. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's what you're going to do on a dating show. Yeah. You're going to try before you buy. Yeah. And that is, that's what I went for.
Cool. Well, it ain't Antiques Roadshow. Do you know what I mean?
It's not too hard to handle. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
That's it. You know what you signed up for. But also, you went in on the first day and you were just chaotic, breaking all the rules. Did you plan to go in there and break all the rules?
Well, I actually wasn't breaking all the rules because we were allowed to do whatever we wanted. I am one of those people who, like, when I've gone on dates or, like, when I've been talking to girls in the past and stuff, I'm not really one to, like, splash out loads of cash. I used to work as a security guard earning, like, £12 an hour standing on the door of McDonald's. You know what I mean? So I do, like, appreciate money.
Yeah. Mackie D's have security now.
Yeah, and I used to be that guy.
I never knew that. What, are people on the Rob of the Nuggets?
Honestly, I saw it all working as a McDonald's security guard. I had glass bottles thrown at me.
Shut up.
Yeah, I stopped underage boys from being spiked before.
Fucking Mackie D's.
Literally, you couldn't imagine the things that I've seen working as a bouncer at McDonald's.
Fuck a dog.
McDonald's.
But
sorry. Let's not go back to Too Hot to Handle. Yeah.
Sidetrack.
I completely forgot what I was saying. You got me talking about McDonald's and now I'm kind of hungry, to be honest.
You were breaking the rules, but you said there was no rules to be broken.
Yeah, exactly. Like. But and you know, in that situation when we were told, okay, you can do whatever you want and there'll be no financial repercussions or no fines, that's what they said.
Yeah.
That's when I went in there and I was like, right, well, now I can do what I really want to do in here. Do you know what I mean? But obviously it turned out that there was a punishment in the end.
Ooh. So you're the first contestant to ever be banished temporarily from the show. Were you shocked? Because obviously, like we were saying, because you've seen the show before, because that's never happened, you couldn't see that coming, like, unless you was Mystic Meg.
Genuinely, like, I can remember so clearly, like, them going, they will be banished. And I just thought, oh my God, Charlie, like, you know, the whole process of Tour to Handle is about teaching you not to be a player. And if there was a moment that taught me not to be a player, it was kissing three girls in a day and then getting kicked straight off of your first ever reality show. I was like, right, I'm a good boy from now on. But, you know, I was definitely shocked at the whole like banishment situation. I really thought I was going in that moment. And then to, you know, get put in that room and have that experience that I did in there, it was definitely a way to condense the whole period in. And that's why when I went back in after banishment, I did have a very single mind and just go for one girl. Because I was like, right, I'm not going to get away with behaving how maybe I would normally behave or I'd want to behave, so yeah, let me just conform to what Lana's telling me to do. You know what I mean?
Gotta be a good boy.
I gotta be a good boy.
What did your banishment look like? Where were you?
My banishment looked like a room with a bunk bed and a table and chairs, and like we were made to do things like count paper clips in there, like make elastic bambles. I mean, you didn't see the elastic bambles bit, but what was really good about like the whole banishment experience was I was actually in there with a girl. You know, typically Charlie would have gone mental if he was locked in a room with a girl.
I bet that bunk bed would have been going. If the bunk bed's rocking,
we were told, like, if you break any rules, it's game over now. Like, so, you know, I was actually in that situation able to form a really good friendship with this girl. And that's something, like, she's someone I'm still friends with to this day. And I'm really grateful for, like, that side of it as well.
Right.
So far, we've seen you in the four episodes. You formed a connection with Lucy. And they're all stunning girls, obviously. I'm not sure if you can tell, Charlie. I'm on the other bus.
No, you don't say.
Yeah, are you shocked?
I thought you were looking at me. He
nearly fell off the fucking chair. Out of all them beautiful girls, what was it about Lucy that caught your eye? Because you're a good-looking gay, so I'm sure you kind of, you know.
So you just told me you're into lads, and now you're telling me I'm a good-looking geezer. What's going to happen after this show?
It's like, getting hot in here, guys. I'll leave you to it.
Yeah, but, you know, Lucy is, like, an amazing girl. And, like, and she, when I went in there, like, she was the first person I spoke to. She's half Indian, the same as me. She played the flute. I played a saxophone. She was, like, a grade 8 singer. Like, she's got so much going for her, do you know what I mean? And so that's why, like, when I first went in there, I was sort of hearing like tick, 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 all of these things that like I would ask for like in a girl when I was going in there. And so, you know, that's kind of what like originally drew me to her straight away.
Love that.
Yeah. So did you actually come out after I know you didn't go in finding love, but did you leave with love?
Why are you trying to get me in trouble? We've seen the first four episodes. You don't want me to ruin it.
Is there a chance that you might have?
Look, what I can say is that I experienced a lot of personal growth whilst I was in there. And I think that that's what the whole process is about. Whether or not I find love is something you're going to have to wait and see, unfortunately.
Tune in,
Ellen. Before you're being all cheeky trying to get me to...
And that's called clipping.
Is there a WhatsApp group between you all?
We have an Instagram group chat with all of us. My God, it's like the sexiest group chat alive.
What goes down in the group chat?
Like memes, just all of us like laughing around with each other, the odd bicker here and there. Now I'm not going to talk about that. But you know, like everyone does get on pretty well, and so like it's all just like pretty much positive vibes between all of us.
So everyone's kind of left at least civil.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, we're all pretty, like, mature people. We all went in there like, yo, we have flings and all of that stuff. And so in that kind of situation, like, you can only just sort of be, like, friendly with everyone going out. I mean, me personally, I'm someone who, like, just likes to have good relationships with people in general.
Yeah.
Not really, like, an argumentative type, you know what I mean? Yeah. Working as a bouncer, you got to learn. If someone says something mean to you, you ain't going to hold it. You know what I mean? You're going to just let it go. And so that's the attitude that I try and take. Mm-hmm. As for everyone else... can't speak for that.
Has anyone left the group chat? Because a lot of times I interview people on this show from various shows, not just Too Hot to Handle, and they'll go, oh, within 2 days, so-and-so left, and we ain't heard from them since. Are you all still in that group chat, or is someone's...
Yeah, I don't think anyone's left the group chat. Like I said, like we're all like pretty mature people. Yeah. Like, we all get on pretty well and stuff. So, you know, the top of my head, no one's trying to bite each other's head off or anything like that. You know?
Right. And unless something happens that's really deep, at the end of the day, you kind of just have to look at it. It is what it is. It's a TV show. Yeah. And if you ain't done anyone wrong, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's funny you say it's a TV show, though, because when you're in there, it really doesn't feel like a TV
show. It's your life, isn't it, when you're there?
And that's what's crazy, actually, now watching it back. Mm. Obviously, like, you know, you have a bit of time to breathe in between filming, and then now sitting here and watching it back, you're like, oh, my God, like... these guys were making entertainment out of me. Like, what the hell?
I mean, how dare they?
Yeah, like, I went in there just like with a basic goal. I mean, my friend said to me before, they were like, Charlie, you don't need to go in there and try to be someone. Just go in there and be you. And so I was like, right, I'm going to go in here and just really be myself, which in itself is hard to do because you're like, yo, who am I? You know what I mean? But I went in there just trying to be authentic and true to myself. And, you know, now sitting here finally being able to watch it back, I'm glad with the way that I've been like presented so far. And I feel like it is true to myself.
Are your parents watching it with you?
Yeah, my parents are watching it with me. In fact, I have just uploaded a TikTok video of my mum reacting to my first day antics. And so, you know, if you want to go check that out, you can go check that out at Charlie Jill on all socials. You know?
What was the general reaction from friends and family when you got the call or the email to say, right, you're going on the show?
Well, I mean, look, the type of person I am, I really don't think people were too surprised by me going on Too Hot to Handle. Just because, like, I've always made like content on TikTok and stuff. My friends who are like close to me, they just knew what I was like and stuff like that. And so I do think it aligned very well with my personality. Like I say, like, I mean, I would have enjoyed going on like a different show like Big Brother or Love Island, but actually having done Too Hot to Handle, and I really think like the personal growth aspect of the show is something that I really like identify with, because, you know, I was like a boxer for like the last 10 years. And so like I've always been trying to improve myself, you know what I mean? And so it's kind of all aligned with that sort of stuff. So I don't think anyone was too shocked to hear it from me, but I've definitely had some DMs from people who've like known me in the past and they're like, what the hell, Charlie? Am I watching you kiss girls on Netflix right now or what?
So funny that you should mention DMs, because one of my go-to questions on Access All Areas, I ask everyone that sits in that chair where you are now, I ask about the DMs and what goes down in them. Like a lot of girls and guys get them as well, whether they're gay or straight.
I think I saw you in my DMs.
Did you? Don't tell anyone.
Here we go. It's all coming out now, Bobby.
It's all coming out. What's going down? Because a lot of people, they come from a reality show and they open they get their phones back and they go into their DMs and it's just dick pic galore. Now, as a boxer, I'm sure not many lads out there are brave enough to send you a dick pic. What are yours saying? Is there a lot of girls sending you some naughtiness?
To be honest, like, it's not really much has changed. Like, I always had people in my DMs. Do you know what I mean? let's not pretend there's anything new going on here. You know what I mean? But all jokes aside, though, like, I've definitely been receiving a lot of DMs. But, you know, luckily for me at the moment, it's all just positive vibes. And that's just what I'm trying to run with. But there's no one, like, too notable. Like I say, I mean, it's only the first four episodes that have come out so far. And I feel like when the next few episodes come out and people, you know, can go binge it, like you say you'd like to, I feel like that's when, you know, the show's traction really starts to pick up, and then maybe I might have some more juicy stories to tell you when you invite me back next time, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. So what show, if you could pick any other reality TV show to go on after this, what would it be?
I'm going to give you two answers. Okay. I like the idea of I'm a Celeb. I think that looks like just so fun.
Yes.
And I love the idea of SAS Who Dares Wins. Oh. Like, get me on Celebrity SAS Who Dares Wins. I would love to. I mean, like, I'm calling myself a celebrity. Who do I think I am? But, you know, I'd love to go on that because it's like a proper challenge. Yeah. And for me, like, I just love to get my teeth into a challenge. If you can turn something into a challenge for me, then I'm all over it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What do you think would be the hardest thing for you personally? If you was to do Celebrity SAS, what would you find the hardest? Do you have any fears or phobias?
Do I have any fears or phobias? I can't really think of anything that really scares me too much off the top of my head, other than just letting myself down. Do you know what I mean?
For someone who stands in the ring and knocks seven bells of shit out of someone, I'm sure not much is going to get heights bother you.
You think they're making seven bells?
Heights a thing for you, or are you fine with heights?
That's a good point. I'm not the biggest fan of heights, not the biggest fan of insects and all of that stuff. So, like, I'm sure you'd have some fun watching me scream whilst there's some, like, ants in the pants. I'm sure you would have some fun watching me scream whilst there's some ants in my pants.
Watching you with ants in your pants.
Yeah. And taking them off, chucking them off. Radio show, come on.
Maybe I'll have to sign up for the same series as you, Charlie.
Oh, my God.
You should.
That would be some good entertainment.
Absolutely, right. Absolutely. So they'd be your go-to. If I was your agent and I said, right, you've been offered both Jungle and Celeb SAS, what one would you pick? Put your balls on the table, Charlie.
I think I would probably go for the Jungle, just because I feel like in there, you know, even though I love the challenge that SAS seems to present, the Jungle is like, it's probably a bit more chilled. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, so, like, but spiders and eating donkey bollocks that's and a good point. All this. Like,
you know what? It's actually a really hard question. I've never thought about it, but I would just love to do both, to be honest. Yeah. But I'm like someone who, like, you can chuck me into anything and I'm going to have a good time giving it a go. Do you know what I'm saying? So really, that's kind of the vibe that I'm just bringing to life at the moment.
Absolutely. Charlie, thank you so much for coming into the studio. I can't wait to see the rest of the series. I think it's shaping up already, even
I've
after
got a,
the first...
I've got a song coming out as well, so you can wait to hear that too.
Oh, what's it called?
I've not got... I can't tell you the name yet. It's, you know what I mean? There's a bit of mystery, but early August I'll be releasing my first song because I played the saxophone, so...
Ooh. Happy days. Yeah. One of my favourite instruments. Always reminds me of like an Ibiza beach club. Love the sax.
Yeah, love the sax as well.
What? Strawberry daiquiri in one end.
Sax on the beach.
Fun fact though, when I play it, they call it the sexy phone, so...
I'll do that.
Gets even better when I play it, you know what I mean?
You should have brought it into the studio.
Oh, honestly, it is my biggest weapon. It's my biggest weapon.
I'm not sure.
Guys, attention.
This is flirtation.
Charlie, thank you so much, lad. As I say, excited to see the rest of the series. I think you're definitely going to be a character.
Nah, thanks for having me.
You're bringing a lot
it.
To the table. You're very welcome. Elle, great show.
Brilliant show, yeah. I'm a very happy girl today. All the lovely men in here. If lovely. We can do this every week.
It's an odd job. Do
I know,
you know
someone
what?
Someone has to do
I'll
it.
I'll come back every week.
Perfect.
It's the Lord's work, but we're here for it. We love it. Guys, exactly. Thank you for tuning in. As always, it's always an absolute pleasure to spend our Wednesday evenings with you. Have an amazing week. We're halfway through it, guys, and we'll be back this time next week live.
With more.
Food Juicy Bar Juicy Gossip, 6 p.m. Wednesday evenings, Access All Areas. Until then, take care, guys. Ta-da.
Bye.